Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masechta Avodah Zarah. Our share today is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Beis. Masechta Avodah Zarah, as we will Mitzvah Hashem be learning, discusses primarily two concepts. One is what is considered Avodah Zarah. We know the Torah is extremely strict about the Issa Avodah Zarah. One may not worship Avodah Zarah, obviously, under any circumstances. That becomes an important part of our Masechta. And the other part of what is an important element of our Masechta are certain gzeiros, certain rules, takonis, that Chazal enacted in order that a person not come, chas v'sholom, to have too much connection with the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We know that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah entire behavior was a behavior the opposite of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. And therefore, Chazal made many different rules, which we will discuss in our Masechta, to limit our interaction with the Akum, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Tosfos, the first Tosfos of the Masechta, immediately points out that our Masechta belongs after Masechta Sanhedrin. For as we recall, when we learned Masechta Sanhedrin, we discussed in the Masechta various rules that are involved Avodah Zarah. Tosfos, however, says that when we finished learning Masechta Avodah Zarah, we first learned Masechta Makkos and Shavuos, which were also very, as we understand, directly related to Masechta Sanhedrin. And now we come back to discuss Masechta Avodah Zarah, the issues of Avodah Zarah, as we just pointed out. It's also interesting to point out, many times in the Gemara, many times we find Maimare Chazal that say that whoever did a certain aveira is ka'ilo oivet avodah zarah, as if he worshipped avodah zarah. The Gemara, for example, says the kol hamizgah kilo oivet avodah zarah. Somebody who is arrogant is as if he worshipped avodah zarah. Kol hakoyis, someone who gets angry, is kilo oivet avodah zarah, is considered like he worshipped avodah zarah. And I saw that the Sfarim point out that by learning Masechta Avodah Zarah, especially as we will point out as we get deeper into the Masechta, actual Avodah Zarah, actual worship of Avodah Zarah really doesn't exist that much nowadays. But what does exist, unfortunately, perhaps are some Aveiros that are similar to worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the Mefarshim therefore point out that by learning Masechta Avodah Zarah, one can have a kapara for those type of avayers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that as we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach to learn this Masechta, it should taka bring kapara mechila v'slicha to all of us. Says the Mishnah, Lefnei Eideyem Shalav Ovdei Kechavim, before the holidays of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Shloshi Yomim, for 3 days, Osov Loseis V'Loseis Simohem, one may not do business with them. Leshila, one may not lend them articles. Lishlamahem, or to borrow something from them. Lahavoisem, to lend them money. Ulahavismahem, or to borrow money from them. As we've pointed out many times, the difference between she'ela and halva is that she'ela is when you borrow an actual item which you will use and then return the actual item, whereas halva is money. Milvul haitzah nitnu, when you borrow money, you're not going to return the actual money that you borrowed. What you're going to return is the amount of money that you borrowed. And that's the difference between shela halva. And the Mishnah says that before their holidays, one may not do business, lend or borrow from them. Lefaram, to repay a debt to them, or lefraimahem, or to accept payment from them. Behuda says, Nefra Mehen, even though we may not pay them, we may receive payment from them. It actually causes them aggravation when they have to pay that back their debts. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, one may receive payment from them, whereas the Chachamim say, Amraloi, Ab Bishumetzur Akshav, maybe it indeed causes them distress now when they have to pay their debt. Some Chulach Hazman, it ultimately causes him satisfaction that he has paid off his debts, and therefore that satisfaction that will come and will come during the holiday will therefore prevents us. Chazal said we should not take payment from them. And as Rashi and Mefarshim explain, that we're concerned that he pays off his debts a few days before the holiday, and then when the holiday actually comes, he will feel very satisfied that he no longer has this obligation on him. As the Mefarshim explain, we're going to learn in the Gemara that the Gemara gives two explanations as to why this halacha applies, as to why one may not do business with the Akum before the holidays. And our Gemara primarily focuses, the Rishonim in explaining our Mishnah primarily focus on the reason given in the Gemara of Harvacha. Harvacha meaning that if the Goy has business done with him before their holiday, then when the holiday will come, they will be so satisfied that they were able to do this, have this business transaction, to have this success, and they'll go and they will praise and thank their Avodah Zarah. And in order to avoid such a thing, Chazal said that we should never do business with them before their holiday. The Tosfos immediately asked the obvious question. Obviously, this question was already applicable in the times of Chazal, and that is, if so, why do we find that Chazal were, we don't find that people avoid doing business with the Akum before the holidays? Particularly, as most Rishonim point out, when we speak here about the Isser of doing business with them on the holidays, it doesn't specifically mean only their big holidays that come a couple of times a year, but rather our Gemara is referring to holidays that come on a very regular basis. And therefore the question is very obvious. How could we ever survive? We live in a society with Akum, and how could we ever survive if we're not allowed to ever do business with them whenever they have a holiday? And therefore Tosfos and the other Rishonim go into giving many different explanations as to why. I think it's important to point out, before we go into explaining the different explanations, we must bear in mind that this Isser that our Mishnah discusses of doing business with them before the holidays is an Isser Drabonin. And whenever we speak about an Isser Drabonin, there are two important concepts to remember. One is that Chazal, that an Isser Drabonin is not as serious as an Isser Daraisa. That's one issue to point out. And the other issue to point out is that besides that the Isser Drabonin is not as serious as the Isser Daraisa, moreover, Chazal, when they made the Exeris, built in that under certain circumstances, the rules should not apply. And therefore, here the Rishonim explain that the reason, as we just explained, the Chazal prohibit us from doing business with the Akum before their holiday is because they're going to go and thank their God for this opportunity, for this. And therefore, nowadays, says Tosfos, where the Goyim are not that connected and not that attached to their Avodah Zarah, and just because they have a successful day in business doesn't mean that they're immediately going to go and praise their Avodah Zarah, Chazal were less concerned. In fact, I saw in the Rishonim a number of ways of looking at this answer. Some Rishonim explain that there were different times in history. Originally, they were concerned about the 3 days before the holiday. Once they were no longer so connected to their Avodah Zarah, Chazal took it down just to the day of the holiday. Furthermore, I saw that the Rishonim suggest that perhaps there was more of a concern in Eretz Yisrael, where we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly is concerned that there should be no worship of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore originally the Gezeirah was more in effect in Eretz Yisrael than it was and is in Chutz Laretz. Until we come to nowadays where people are, where there is not such a great concern. Another pshat that I saw, why Tosfos says this pshat, and other Rishonim discuss it, why we're more lenient with this Isser, and that's because of Eva. We live amongst the Akum, and if we will avoid doing business with the Akum, it could certainly cause animosity between them and us. And in order to avoid such a situation, the Rishonim already said that we don't have to be stringent about not doing business with them around the time of their holiday. Actually, if we take that approach, then there would be a nafkamina, the Rishonim make this nafkamina, between buying and selling versus lending and borrowing. For the Rishonim explain as follows. When it comes to buying and selling, if someone has a store and the Akum will come into his store and someone will say, and the storekeeper, the Jewish storekeeper will say, well, I'm not allowed to do business with you because it's right around the holiday time, that can obviously cause great animosity. But when it comes to lending and borrowing are not as serious as doing as selling and buying. Somebody could say the Akum wants to lend or borrow from you. One can legitimately say, I don't have anything to lend or borrow to you. And therefore, perhaps, and the Rishonim make this point, even nowadays there should be more of a concern. The issue of Eva only speaks to selling, not to lending and borrowing. Other Rishonim explain, and we have this concept by other Rabbonans, there's a concept of gzeira she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamed boy. Sometimes the gzeiras that are just impossible to fulfill. And in the society that we live in amongst the Akum, it's difficult to avoid doing any business with them, and therefore it falls into the category of gzeira she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamed boy, and that's why business can be done with them. One more explanation, which I really don't want to go to in great depth, is that most Akum nowadays do believe in God. They may also believe in someone else. They may believe in an intermediary between God and us, and therefore it's not considered perhaps Avodah Zarah, particularly for Akum, and that's why we don't have to be concerned that they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Rishonim go on to point out that is, when we speak about selling an item to the Akum, there is the Isser is perhaps only on a Dover Hamskayim, something that lasts. That means if someone sells something to an Akum within 3 days before their holiday, and it's an item that's a durable item, there's a concern that that item will still be in existence when the holiday comes. And since the item will still be in existence when the holiday comes, he'll go and he'll thank his God for that item. But let's say it's an item that doesn't endure, particularly in those times when they had they didn't have refrigerators, so somebody sold a vegetable, for example, to the Akum 3 days before the holiday. When the holiday will come, those vegetables won't be extant anymore. One is allowed to sell those items to Akum. It's only items that will still be in existence when the holiday comes. However, here too, I saw that the Rishonim make an interesting distinction. They say, if so, it's only when it comes to selling. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell Tanakum. So you're not allowed to sell only a durable item to an Akum, but a non-durable item, which will no longer be existence when holiday comes, you're allowed to sell to the Akum. However, when it comes to buying from the Akum, there perhaps it would be usur, because what happens is that the Akum is satisfied that he now has the cash that he received for selling the item, and therefore it makes no difference what item he sold. Although here too I sort of showed him, make an interesting observation. It depends on what type of item the Akum sold. If it's an item, let's say the Akum has a business, and he's in business to sell items, and he was successful in selling you an item, and because he sold you the item, he now has the money at hand, and he goes and praises his God, that would be usur. But let's say it was an item that he actually didn't want to sell. He only sold because he had no choice. Perhaps there too, we could be a little more lenient. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that when our Mishnah says that one may not do business with them before the holidays, it's only when there isn't a specific season involved. But sometimes there are specific seasons. The Gemara speaks many times about the Yom HaShuk. And on the Yom HaShuk, that was when items were more available. And not only were certain items more available on the Yom HaShuk, moreover, on the Yom HaShuk, the items were better priced. And if that is the circumstance, then the halacha is that one could do business with Akum even before their holiday. Furthermore, some Rishonim, and this goes back to what we discussed earlier, regarding why we're not so concerned about doing business with the Akum Bismanazer. Some Rishonim point out that it's only something that actually can be used for Avodah Zarah. But items that are not actually themselves used for Avodah Zarah, the halacha of our Mishnah doesn't apply. Tosfos also goes on to say that although we're saying that we're not allowed to lend money to an Akum before their holiday, says Tosfos that if we lend the money with interest, so there is obviously a real pain to the Akum in paying the interest, and therefore a loan on interest would be mutter before the holiday. Dritva disagrees with Tosfos, because Dritva's position is that since interest is not paid immediately as soon as the loan is taken, the interest is only paid later, and therefore at this point the guy is only happy with the fact that he got the loan. He doesn't think about the payments, the interest payments that he'll have to make later, and therefore says Tosfos, that says the Ritva, that even loans on interest would be usur. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that if one has a loan with an Akum that's not committed to writing, it's not hard and fast document, and therefore there's always a concern that one may not get paid, that type of loan, even though we're not supposed to get paid back from the Akum before holiday, here there's a concern that if we don't take the money, we may never be able to see that money, and therefore here the halacha will be, under such a type of loan, one should take payment under all circumstances, even if it's right before the holiday. In fact, I saw that some Rishonim point out that in the times that Jews lived in a society where they were oppressed, and because they were oppressed, even if one had a loan committed to writing, sometimes it was difficult for us to be able to collect those loans. Such a loan, even if it's committed to writing, if one has the opportunity to receive his payment even right before the holiday, one should take that payment, because one doesn't know if he'll ever be able to receive that payment. Finally, our Mishnah speaks and teaches us that within 3 days of the holiday, it's considered already like the holiday. So I saw that the Paiskim point out that there is a minhag by many people that when they have yahrzeit, they go visit the grave of the person who died on that day. But sometimes it's difficult to go on that actual day, certainly if the yahrzeit comes out on Shabbos. But even under other circumstances, let's say one has his relatives overseas and the travel plans can't always work out. Here our Mishnah teaches us that within 3 days of an event, it's considered like that event is already happening, and therefore many Paiskim suggest, based on our Mishnah, that one, if one goes to visit a basic forest within 3 days of the yard site, it's considered as if he went on the actual yard site. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah began with the word Lifnei Edehem. Edehem in our Mishnah was spelled with an Aleph. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, we have a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. What is the proper way of spelling this word in our Mishnah? Chad Toni Edehem, one has the spelling of the word with an Aleph, the Chad Toni Edehem with an Ayin. Comments the Gemara, Man the Toni Edehem lo mishtabish, the one who has the spelling with an Aleph hasn't made an error, or Man the Toni Edehem with an Ayin lo mishtabish isn't making a mistake. Explains the Gemara. Man the Tanya Edeim Lemishtabish, the one that has it with an Aleph is not making a mistake, because the Pasuk says, Ki Karev Yoim Edom. The Pasuk speaks about the ultimate destruction of the of Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says, Ki Karev Yoim Edom, the day of destruction, and that's why when we speak about Avodah Zarah, we spell it with an Aleph. Continues the Gemara. However, Uman the Tanya Edehen, with an Ayin, Loi Mishtabish, is also not making a mistake. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Yitnu Edeim V'Yitzdoiku, let them bring their witnesses. We'll discuss this more soon in the Gemara, but at this point the Gemara says, let the Goyim bring their testimony about how good they were. Ask the Gemara, Uman the Tani Edehem, the man that has the Edeim with an Aleph, Maitana Loi Tana Edeim with an Ayin. Answered the Gemara, Amalach, he prefers to speak about Tavra Adav. He prefers to speak about the actual destruction of the Avodah Zarah. That's what it says, Ki Karev Yoim Edom, the destruction. Ask the Gemara, Uman the Tani Edeim with an Ayin, Maitana Loi Tana Edeim with an Aleph. Answers the Gemara, Amalach, he prefers, Man Ki Garem Lu Tavra, what will cause their ultimate destruction? Eidus shehidu ba'atzvam, they themselves will give testimony. They will give testimony, kaviyachol to Hashem, that they worshipped Avodah Zarah and therefore will be destroyed. Hilkach, therefore this Tana, Eidus Adifa, prefers a word spelled with ayin that speaks about that testimony. And as Reb Yosef Engel explains, the machlokes is based on what is more significant. Is more significant the ultimate goal, or is it more significant the means how we achieve that goal? The man d'amar that says Aleph Edeim, that speaks about their ultimate destruction, is focused on the ultimate goal, the destruction of Avodah Zarah. The other man d'amar, however, is more focused on how we ultimately reach that destruction, and the way that destruction will ultimately be reached is, as we just explained, through the testimony that the Akum will give about themselves. Ask the Gemara. The man d'amar that said it was Edeim with an Ayin, based it on the Pasuk of Yitnu Edeim V'Yitzdoku. Ask the Gemara. V'hai Yitnu Edeim V'Yitzdoku about the Chom Ksiv? Is that a pasuk regarding Avodah Zarah? Asked the Gemara. Hab Yisrael Ksiv. Doesn't that pasuk speak about Klal Yisrael? Dam Rabbi Shuba Levi. Kol mitzvah Yisrael oisim b'yom hazeh. Or mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael perform in this world, Bo'os umidus lehem lo'olam haba, will come and say testimony lo'olam haba. Shnema, as the pasuk says, Yitnu Edeim v'itzdoiku Eli Yisrael, this refers to Klal Yisrael. The Yishmu V'Yomer Emes Ela Avdei Kochavim, that the pasuk says, but the pasuk is saying that Klal Yisrael who did mitzvahs, the mitzvahs will say testimony on their behalf. So it has nothing to do with the avodah zara of the goyim. Elo Amar Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, man da Amar Eidayin, the man da Amar that says that the word is Eidayim in our Mishnah with Ayin, what is he basis on? Where does he base it on? Mehocha, from this pasuk. The pasuk says, Yoytzrei Pesach Kulam Toyu, V'chamedeim Baal Ye'ilu, all of their statues are empty, their objects can't help them, V'eidayim Hema, they all say testimony against the people who worship them. Says the Gemara, Dorosh Rav Chanina Bar Papa, V'tem Rav Simloi, Losal Vavoi, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Sefer Torah, M'niach B'chekoi V'omer, and he'll put it in his lap and he'll say, L'mish Osipa, whoever spent time learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, Yavoi V'yitel Scharoi, should come and receive his schar. So I saw miyad miskapsim gavon of the kacham bervuvia. All of the goyim will come in a disorganized fashion. So I saw the mefarshim ask the obvious question: how could the goyim even attempt to say that they deserve reward? They certainly never learned any Torah. So I saw that the mefarshim give two explanations. One explanation is that the goyim see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is holding something in his hands. They don't really know exactly what he's holding, and they are under the false assumption that he's holding their religious books, and that actually he's saying that they were correct, and therefore they come to say, since they were correct, they come to get their reward. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat, we mentioned this briefly earlier, is the point that the Akum also believe in Torah Shebiksav. They don't believe in Torah Shebalpeh, and that's why they come to collect their schar, because they believe that they deserve reward for their belief in Torah Shebiksav. And therefore, Miyad Boim Miskapsa Oiv Dikham Beruvuvya Shinema Kol Agoyim Nigbitzu Yachtav, all the nations of the world will gather together to get their reward. Amalek Rosh Baruch Hu, Atikonsei Lefani Beruvuvya, don't come to me in this disorganized fashion. El Tikanes Kol Uma Ve'Uma, every nation should come in separately. V'Sofrei, with their leaders, with their scholars. Shenema V'Yosvu L'Umim, may the nations gather. And L'Umim means nations. V'Ein L'Um El Malchus. Shenema L'Oim M'Loim Yematz. Each nation, this is a pasuk regarding Rivka, that was when she was carrying Esav and Yaakov. Ask the Gemara, Umi Ika Ervuvia Kameh Kadosh Baruch Hu? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there a concern in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can't see all of these people when they're disorganized? Doesn't the pasuk say Hayoytzi Yachel Libam Hamevin Akomaseim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to look at each person individually, even when they're in the midst of a large group. Answers the Gemara, Ella, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a problem that they all come together this way. Rather, what it means is Keichad L'Arvu Inu Bahadi Hadadi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that they should all come together. He wants to deal with each nation individually. He wants to hear from each nation individually what they have to say. Says the Gemara, Miyad Nichnas Alafanav Malchus Roim Tchila. The first nation to enter before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Roman Empire. Ask the Gemara, My Tama, why specifically is it the Roman Empire that comes first? Answers the Gemara, B'shem D'Chshiva, because they're the most prestigious nations. Nation. Ask the Rambam, Nolan D'Chshiva, and from where do we know that they are the most prestigious nation? The Pasuk says that Daniel had a vision, and in the vision he saw four beasts. Those four beasts represent the four nations that subjugate Klal Yisrael. They are Bavel, Pras, Yavon, and Roimi. And Roimi is considered, says the Gemara, the most prestigious. Tiksiv It says regarding Rome, which was compared to a lion, it destroyed the entire world, trampled and crumbled the entire world. And Rabbi Yochanan says this refers to Raimi Hachayeves Shetiva Yotze B'chal Olam, whose influence spreads throughout the entire world. Umnolon, continues the Gemara, the man the Choshev Ayal Bereisha. How do we know that when we have a group, the one that's most prominent goes first? Answers the Gemara Kedrav Chizda, as Rav Chizda taught us. Don Rav Chizda, Melech V'tzibur, if we have a king and the rest of the people, and they have to go into trial, Melech Nichnas Tchil Ladin. The first one to go in should be the Melech. Shenemar, as the Pasuk indeed says, La'asos Mishpat Amoy U'Mishpat Amoy Yisrael. First Amoy, and then the Pasuk says, first, the Pasuk here referring to Shlomo HaMelech, first Shlomo HaMelech, and then the rest of the people. Ask the Gemara V'tamamai, why indeed is it done in this order? Answers the Gemara, Ibayis a malav oirech ara lamelis malka bavroi. It's improper that the king should be sitting outside while everybody else is first being dealt with inside. Vibayis a makam the lechesh karenaf, before it gets angry, kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at the public, and then if the king will come in, then the king will be punished, the king will be subject to the anger that exists at that point. Of course, the Mefarshim should point out that this is all not to be understood literally, and moreover, the Mefarshim should point out that it only means here, what the Gemara here means is that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never punishes someone for something that they themselves didn't do. But rather what the Gemara here means is that if the king is not acting that appropriately, and he himself is deserving of punishment. But normally we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times is marach af. Many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows a little patience. But when he's angry, that patience isn't there. And therefore, if the king himself is not that worthy, when the anger is there, he will be punished. Because as the Mefarshim go on to explain, he actually is sort of responsible for the behavior of all the people in his country. And in fact, as the Chasam Sofer points out, the nafkamina between these two pshatim will be in a case where the king acts appropriately. If we go with the first explanation, that the concern here is to show kavod hamalchus, to show the proper respect to the king, so it makes no difference what type of behavior the king exhibits, because there's a point of kavod hamalchus. But if the concern here is to show, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then it's only if the king is not acting himself appropriately. But if the king is a tzaddik, then this concern would not be our issue. Furthermore, I saw a beautiful vart from the Tiferes Shloima in explaining what our kavana should be in our tefillos on the Yomim HaNoraim. He says, and we actually noticed this in the Nusach HaTefillah of the Yomim HaNoraim. He says, when somebody davens on the Yomim HaNoraim, his first kavana, his first point should be Kvod Shemayim, to be concerned about the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what he says is Pshat in our Gemara. Melech V'tzibur. When we have the Melech, when we need to be mispavel for the Kvod Shemayim, and we also need to be mispavel Tzibur, the members of the Tzibur, each one of us has our own particular needs. What should be our first kavana? Melech Nechnas Tchila. The first kavana a Jew should have in his tefillas is Kvod Shemayim. That should be our main kavana. And actually, if we look at the Nusach HaTfilah, we keep on seeing that point keeps on being repeated, that we are mispalul for V'simlach Aleinu, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, we daven for Kvod Shemayim. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them, B'masak them, what were you involved in this world? And as Tosfos points out, the question is not for specific acts, but rather what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for is what was your main occupation, what was your main goal in this world. and they respond, Ribbono Shel Olam, Habi Shvokim Tavikninu, we established many marketplaces, Habi Mechatzos Asinu, we made many bathhouses, Habi Kesev Azov Hibinu, we amassed much silver and gold, for Kulam Layasinu B'Shvi Yisrael, and everything we did was only on behalf of Klai Yisrael. Today she has asked the Torah, in order they should learn Torah. And here the Mepharshim point out, the La'asot Lovay, when Mashiach comes, it will become obvious and apparent that the most important objective and the most important goal we can have in our lives in this world is she's Asku B'Torah, Limur HaTorah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them, Shoytim Shavoylem, you fools, Kamashat Sisem, Letzarech Atzmechem Asisem. Everything you did only for your own personal needs. So all the Mepharshim asked the obvious question, why is the Gemara saying Shoytim? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call them fools? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say to them, Shakronim, you liars. We know that that wasn't your goal, as the Gemara will now explain. So why does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu call them Shoytim instead of Shakronim? Says, so this question, Reb Chaim Brisker asked of his son, the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav responded. He says, La'asod Lavoi, everybody will see that everything that was created, everything that happened in this world was really for HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an ultimate plan. And therefore they're going to say that everything that we did was part of your ultimate plan. And everything, and your ultimate plan that you run the world is L'toivas, is for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, indeed, everything we did, which is part of your plan, was on behalf of Klal Yisrael. What will HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to them, if you indeed recognize this point, so Shoytim, you fools, why don't you recognize this? Why did you have to wait for Mashiach to come to this recognition? Could you not have recognized this? Should you not have recognized this before Mashiach came? And at that point, you would have known what to do and why to do it. Not that you did it, and ultimately only later do it become clear what the point was. And so, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, "Kol ma'aseh asisem l'tzarech atzmechem asisem." Everything you did was for your own benefit. Tikantem shvokim l'ashem b'mzoynus. You made markets to put prostitutes in them. And as Tosfos points out, actually there are obviously other points in making a marketplace, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to deride them, so that's why he points out the zoynus. Kesev azov, machatzos, you made bathhouses l'adam anatzchem. You only did it for your own benefit. Kesev azov shlihu. Shnema, liya kesev, v'liya azov num Hashem tzvokos. Klum, yesh b'chem magad zois. Shnema, mi b'hem yagad zois. Vein zois al atayra. Shnema, v'zois at atayra s'shem moisha. You didn't connect yourself to the Torah. B'yad yotzu b'vachin nefesh. And they immediately leave very upset. Yotzu malchus roimi. The Roman Empire leaves for Nichnas Malchus Prasachres, so come in the Persian Empire. My Tama, why are they next? The Hayach Shiva Basra. They are the next most prestigious nation after the Romans. Umanolan, and how do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, and that Pasuk that we referred to earlier regarding the Nevuah of Daniel, V'aruch Chiva Arei Tinyon Adam L'Daiv, and another beast similar to a bear comes after that. V'tanu Rabbi Yosef, who does that refer to? That the Eilah of Pesayim refers to the Persians. Sha'ochlam v'shoysim kadov, they eat and drink like a bear. U'mesubal and basa kadov, they're heavy like a bear. U'megadim ser kadov, they have a lot of hair like a bear. V'eilam menucha kadov, just like a bear is always moving, so too, they're constantly moving. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of them, B'maya Saktim, what did you do in this world? And they respond, Amalei HaFan Ribbono Shel Olam, Harbi Gishorim Gisharanu. We made a lot of bridges. And as Tosfos points out, it's not to say that the Romans did not build bridges, but the Persians apparently were great experts in the building of bridges. Harbi Kerochim Kavashnu. We conquered many cities. Harbi Mechamos Asinu. We waged many wars. For Kulam Laisina B'Shul Yisrael. Everything we did was just on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Kedei she asku b'Torah, in order that they should be able to learn Torah. Amla Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, two, Hamash Asisem L'tzarech Atzmechem Asisem. Everything that you did, you really did only on your own behalf. Gisharim, when you built bridges, Litl Mechem Nachas. You built the bridges in order to be able to collect tolls. Krochim, Lasses B'Mangaria. You wanted to have cities that they should have people and animals servicing the king government. Mechamais, Aniosisi. Shenemar, Hashem Ish Mechama. So I saw a beautiful word from the Kedushat Siyan. The Kedushat Siyan says that why does the Gemara here separate between the first part that says that the cities and the bridges you made for yourself and the Mechamas I made, says the Kedushat Siyan. The truth is that no country really is anxious to go to war. No country is anxious to go to war. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who runs the entire world, he sees and knows when is the time that he wants them to go to war. So that's what he says. When you built bridges, when you built cities, you could say that you built them with your intention, because you had intention to use that to amass wealth. You certainly didn't go to war to amass wealth, because going to war obviously is very dangerous. Why did you go to war? Because Hashem Ish Melchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that runs the world and makes up when there should be war and when there should not be war. And that's why you went to war, because I sent you to war. Kulam yesh b'chem magad zois, shenem ha-mi b'chem yagad zois, vein zois el ha-toyra, shenem ha-vizois ha-toyra shesam Moshe. Again, miyad yotzu b'pachad nafesh, they go out upset. Ask the Gemara, v'chi me'achad ha-chazes malchiz, pras, l'malchus roi midi l'mahanyo loy midi, if after the Persian Empire saw that the Romans didn't accomplish anything with what they said, my tama aile, why did they go in? Amri answered the Gemara, because they thought to themselves, inu sasri base mingdash. The Romans destroyed the base mingdash, but we built the base mingdash, and therefore maybe we're in better shape. So ask Tysus, so why didn't they make that point immediately, that we built the base mingdash, and therefore we deserve better treatment? Says Tysus, going back to what we discussed earlier, that their entire point is to speak about what they did constantly. The building that of the Beis HaMikdash that the Persians did was a one-time event that is not really telling of who and what they are. And continues the Gemara V'chein L'chal Uma V'uma, and so too with every other nation. Although many Rishonim have explained that doesn't mean every nation that ever existed. What the Gemara here means is Bavel and Yavin, that, as we explained earlier, are two of the other nations that Daniel saw in his Nevuah. Ask the Gemara if this will happen with all these other nations, if they saw that their talking to Hashem had no point, if the earlier of these other nations accomplished nothing, my tama aila, why did they try? Answers the Gemara, Savri Hanach Ishtabiru B'Yisrael. These people subjugated Klal Yisrael. However, V'nan L'Shabidnu. We didn't really subjugate them to such a great degree. Ask the Gemara, if so, Ma'ishna Hanach T'Chshivi, why are only these nations mentioned? Or Ma'ishna Hanach T'Lachshivlu, why are the other nations not mentioned separately? Answers the Gemara, because these two nations that the Gemara mentioned have a very specific characteristic. Mishum Nahanach Mashiach Chasayu, their kingdom will last Ados Mashiach until Mashiach will come. Amr Alfonov, and then the Goyim continues saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Nasatalon V'loy Kiblinu, did you give us Torah that we didn't accept? Had you given us the Torah, we would have also done right. Ask the Gemara, do they even have the right to say so? The pasuk says Hashem is Sinai Ba, v'zarech masei lomai. The pasuk refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu having been with all these nations, and the question therefore is, my boy b'seir, my boy b'parim, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to all these nations for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah to every nation, v'lo kiblua, and they refused it. At Shabbat. Achaba Yisrael Kablu, Klai Yisrael accepted it. So why are they saying that we weren't given the opportunity? Alach Amri, Klum Kablunu V'Lakimnu, that we accept the Torah and not observe it. We never accepted the Torah, and therefore we're not obligated to fulfill its mitzvahs. V'adot Avratem, but that in itself brings the question, because the question is, am I like Kablinu? Why did you accept it? And therefore that can't be what they're saying. Says the Gemara, El Kachar Milfana, Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Kafiso Leinu HaKigigas, did you force us to accept the Torah for like Kablinu, that we didn't accept it? Kamashat Sisul Yisrael, as you did to Klai Yisrael, to Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yisyatsu V'takta Sahar, V'ron Rami Dimi Barchama, Shokov HaKadosh Baruch HaKigigas Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over Klai Yisrael like a vat, if you accept the Torah, fine. Memlav shamtek v'raschem, you will not survive. They were forced into it, and the goyim therefore say, why weren't we forced? B'yad oimalam kadosh baruch hu harishonos yashmiinu. Look at the zayin mitzvahs bnei noach that you were obligated to do. Shnemar v'yishonos yashmiu. Look at the earlier mitzvahs, the Zayin mitzvah b'nei Noach, Sheva mitzvah shikibaltim, the Zayin mitzvah b'nei Noach that you did accept, Hechem kiyantim. And therefore I saw no point in forcing you to accept the Torah, says Hashem, because anyway, even the mitzvahs I already gave you, you didn't properly fulfill. Mefarshim obviously asked, Rishonim asked, if Klal Yisrael said Nasav and Nishma, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force us to accept the Torah? One explanation is because when they saw the fire, they saw the entire maimed of Har Sinai, they got scared, and that's why they had to be forced. Another pshat is that they only accepted Torah Shebiksav, not Torah Shebapeh, and they had to be forced into accepting Torah Shebapeh. But the question is, indeed, why were only Klal Yisrael forced, not the Akum? So Mefarshim explained that the Akum, it's like if a parent has a number of children and one child is a talented child and it pays to invest into that child because he will emerge to be a great individual. Another of the children doesn't really have that much to offer and therefore the parent doesn't expect that much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Klal Yisrael has the potential for greatness, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to accept the Torah. The Akum that don't have that potential didn't pay to invest in. Another beautiful pshat that I saw from Moshe Soloveitchik to teach us why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us and put it, what's the lashon HaKigigas, as if we were going to be, if we don't accept the Torah, we're going to be locked into the Zavat. So he explains, of life without Torah is a life of Tzimtzum. A life without Torah is a life that really isn't an enjoyable life. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to us, if you want to have a good life, the way you're going to have a good life is if you're going to accept the Torah, and it will bring that beautiful perspective to your life. Because if you don't accept the Torah, your life will be a life of kegigas, limited into this vat, without the real enjoyment of the limud haTorah, of the opportunity to be mekayim mitzvahs and learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah.